Why any fool could see he made that first down when he dived. If Howard Cosell came in now, he'd never get out alive.
Yeah, the armchair quarterback, he's kind of fun and he's kind of bad. The All-American man.
With a cool one in his name.
Good afternoon, WQEE audience, rolling down the road, or maybe you're chilling wherever you're chilling. I'm Mac McGee. We are going to take you to the world of the National Football League today, and then we are going to the Once Upon a Pastime series today. It is why baseball is the best, why it's the best sport, a lot of different reasons why it is America's pastime and will always be America's pastime. But we know football is America's passion. We know, especially in the South, the football rules the roost, and we are going to talk a little NFL today. We're going to tend to do this on Wednesdays. We're going to give you our what we're calling the Great Eight, meaning the top eight teams in the National Football League. We will rank them. We do the armchair top 10 beginning of the week. We also will be continuing to do the Braves Country today. We're doing about two of those a week as we try to transition more into the football season, but we will keep you up to date. At least once a week, we will go into the world of the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball. Right now, it's a little difficult to do considering the fact we're still waiting on the end of the postseason. And once the postseason hits, free agency happens immediately. So things will start moving and shaking. But today, we will get into the National Football League. Let's go ahead and dive into it. I know we get a lot of football. And I know it seems like it lasts really long. It really doesn't. And it's one of the reasons why the passion is there for the fans, because you only get, now it's longer than it used to be, but you're still only getting 17 games. We are already through the sixth week, heading into week seven of the National Football League. And you have to look at it as far as the top eight teams. Now, I'm not always going to go off of record, because I think there are going to be times where we get down, especially later in the season, where you're going to be able to make an argument for a team that has one or two more losses, but is playing much better than a team that may have a few less. Because once you get towards the end, really depends on who's hot, also who's healthy. But right now, when we sit here in the first 6 weeks of the season, and you're talking about trying to figure out, okay, well, who's got the lead? And the reason why we go with eight, there's a reason why I like the number eight. First of all, you try to go about four in each conference, but that's not always going to be the case. Sometimes one of the conferences is much stronger than the other, which I believe is the case right now. But I more go off, and I don't just go off of, well, what happened this past Sunday, unless there's a major injury. This is kind of a bad example, but let's say if you had the Colts as one of your top teams, you would be taking them off the list because Gardner Minshew is not going to be able to lead the Colts to what I think Anthony Richardson may have had. We don't know what Anthony Richardson would have done in his rookie year, but we know his ceiling is much higher than Gardner Minshew. Now, it's kind of a bad example because Minshew and the boys are 3-3, but you get my drift. You get where I'm coming from on that. So here we go, the top eight teams in the National Football League going into week number seven. It is so hard to believe that we're already there. And we do have a cut, and we're going to get into a couple of the bigger showdowns. We've got some pretty good ones here in the NFL. And it gets so much better when we get into October, heading into November and December. We talk about this all the time. But essentially, I'm a big fan of baseball, obviously. Sure wouldn't be called Braves Country if it wasn't the case, right? But I'm also a big fan of football, and especially the National Football League when you get to this time of year. College football, it's a lot easier to get into early on because there's so many teams. You can usually find a few games on a Saturday that you have interest in. There have been some Sundays already this year where it's been really difficult to find one particular team that you're, or excuse me, one particular game that you're more than fired up about. But that's no longer the case. I believe we're getting a really good slate this week, and I think you're going to continue to get that because as these games go on, as the season goes on, and it can get a little hairy at the end of the season if you have a bunch of teams that just aren't competing and they're just kind of playing out the slate. But all in all, from now until around Christmas time, you should have a handful of very good games in the NFL, and this week we'll get into those here in a second. But I want to go ahead and give you my 1 through 8 in the National Football League. Now, this week, I usually go backwards, but I'm going to go top to bottom this week because I want to make a case that the San Francisco 49ers are still the best team in football. They missed a field goal at the end of the game in Cleveland. It is a very difficult thing to do to win in the National Football League. They had an emotional game against Dallas the week before. They had a couple of injuries. And we'll have to see how long these injuries will play out because you do have some playmakers there that could be out for a little bit of time. But regardless, they're such a deep team. I'm still taking the San Francisco 49ers as the number one team in the National Football League. And that's not necessarily going to change. I don't believe it's going to change after the end of Week 7. They're in Minnesota, a Monday night game. Now, thankfully for them, they get an extra day of rest. It is a road game. But anyway, you shake it out, I believe the 49ers will be able to manhandle the Vikings, who are very, very sketchy. You don't say this much, but an overrated 2-4 team. So Kansas City is not my number one team. I know a lot of folks have got them ranked that high. The San Francisco 49ers are my number one team. My number two team in the National Football League will continue to be the Miami Dolphins. They have been utterly impressive. My only question is, this week, can they go on the road on Sunday night and beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia? It's essentially going to be a pick 'em. Depending on the day you look at this, you're talking about it opened at a line of around 2. This morning it was 1.5, but I keep seeing them going to 1.5, 1. It's bouncing back and forth. For the first time, for the first time this year, I'm incredibly excited about the Sunday night football game. Actually, that's not true. I was really excited about the San Francisco-Dallas game. It was incredibly let down. This one, I don't believe, is going to let us down. That's going to be a fun game. But right now, I've got the Miami Dolphins as the number two team. They are blowing teams out of the water. They're playing incredibly good football. And top to bottom, they're just a damn good football team. My number three team in the NFL, I'm going to hedge just a tad and say the Kansas City Chiefs, but you could put my number four team right there and I'm not going to have a lot of arguments. I've got Kansas City 3 and I've got the Philadelphia Eagles 4. And this isn't because Philadelphia just lost. It was more of the way that they lost. I do believe they can clean that up. But there were some bad plays. I mean bad plays made by Jalen Hurts. And you do wonder if a team can get some pressure on them like the Jets did. Is there a path there to get them basically showing their vulnerability? I think if both teams are healthy right now on a neutral field, I'm going to hedge with probably the Miami Dolphins, but I do believe between the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Philadelphia Eagles, if they're all on a neutral field, I'm going to hedge with the Dolphins. Very, very slight lean. I guess I should say lean. A very slight lean. But that really is going to come down to who plays the best game that day. I don't believe there's a big talent gap anywhere. San Francisco's been the most impressive. But even they can be had, as we've seen, as we saw against Cleveland. So those top four teams, to me, they are above and beyond the best four teams in the National Football League right now. And it's not just because of their record, because the Detroit Lions are also 5-1, and though I think they are a very good team, they are not my number five team in the NFL. My number five team in the NFL is the Baltimore Ravens, because Baltimore is playing very good football. And if it weren't for a couple of boneheaded decisions, honestly, I was proud of Harbaugh to finally start kicking field goals and using that weapon that he has in Justin Tucker. And he took care of the game on a neutral site in London against a very below average Tennessee Titan team. And he decided to take the field goals, get the points, quit going with the analytical nonsense. And look what happened. They got the win. They had to hold on at the end, but they got the win. So Baltimore, to me right now, though they are 4-2, I'm putting them slightly ahead of the Detroit Lions. But we'll find out. We will find out this weekend, because the Detroit Lions happen to be going to Baltimore to face the Ravens. By the way, that line is Detroit's getting 3. Now, they're going to be without David Montgomery. They do believe that they're going to have the rookie back for the Detroit side. It's not 100% right now, but heading into today, it appears that Jahmyr Gibbs will be ready to roll. So we'll see how that plays out. They're going to need Gibbs in a big way, and I believe that is going to be what we like to call an old-fashioned rock fight. I think you're going to get two physical football teams. The number I like the most in that game is the under at 42. I do not believe you're going to get a high-scoring shootout in that game. We'll get into the best bets, the locks here in a second, but I do have an eye on that Lions-Ravens game. Remember, Friday, we're still doing Football Fridays. Football Fridays, we'll get into the Lions. And what we're starting this week with Football Friday is we're going to do a deeper dive on the Lions. We're going to kind of kick baseball to the side on Friday afternoons. We're still doing the Saturday morning kickoff show, but I'm going to do a deeper dive onto the lines, because normally the kickoff show, we get into, you know, the pageantry and the hoopla and all of us guys going back and forth and talk about who we think we're going to win, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll give you some locks, but Football Friday is going to be more concentrated going forward on the lines. I wanted to start concentrating on that heading into the weekend, because I don't feel like we've concentrated on it enough, and we're going to right that ship starting this Friday. Going to start something different too, but we'll get into that on the Friday show. Okay, so I've got Baltimore number 5, Detroit number 6. Like I said, there's a lot of these, I mean, they're barely ahead of each other, up and down. So here's my next big dilemma. I'm going to put the Dallas Cowboys at number 7. I believe Dallas has a team. I know they've laid a couple of eggs, and I get that. But I also believe they have an incredibly talented football team. And I liked what I saw out of the Cowboys, a road win, Monday Night Football, getting back, fighting back and not getting in the dumps because they got ran over in the San Francisco game. So with that being said, I put Dallas at number seven. And the reason why I put Dallas at number seven, because here's my big dilemma. Who do I leave out? And if you're thinking of it in your head, there's two teams that you could make the big argument for. They're both 4-2. They have faced each other. It's a neutral site. It was a weird site. Neutral, but kind of, sort of, almost a home game for Jacksonville. Jacksonville and Buffalo. Because both teams are not hitting on all cylinders. Buffalo has blown teams out of the water, and then we saw them on Sunday night where they could barely get out of their own way and really struggled and probably should have lost to a bad Giants team. So I'm going to slightly lean with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it's a slight lean, but I will say this. Jacksonville is on a 3-game winning streak. Jacksonville, 2-1 in their division. Jacksonville is in the driver's seat in the AFC South. When you consider the fact that the Colts and the Titans are pretty much out of the race, considering their quarterback situation, barring some kind of miracle, you're really just talking about having to outlast the Houston Texans, who have looked very, very promising, and I love the future for C.J. Stroud, but I don't think it happens this year. You're going to have the growing pains. But I don't think it's going to take as long for C.J. Stroud to punch his ticket into the playoffs as it did for Trevor Lawrence. C.J. Stroud, there's certain things you can't even quantify, but you look at him on the screen and you go, that's an NFL quarterback, and that is a guy that can be a star. And then there's other guys, it doesn't matter what their statistics show you, no matter what they try to tell you, and no matter how long they've hung around in the league, no matter the success or failures they've had, that you say, that's just not an NFL quarterback. Not an elite. Guys like Baker Mayfield, where you're like, all right, he can hold a spot for you, but he's not taking you to the promised land. So, right now I'm leaning with the Jaguars, but I've got to start seeing more improvement and more consistency from the Jacksonville side of it, because when you look at the fact, look, they're going into this Thursday night game, and we don't even, it's being reported that Trevor Lawrence will probably play Thursday night, but honest engine, it's going to be a game time decision. And they would hope that he's going to play. He's got his knee banged up, for those of y'all who haven't paid attention to it. But he's going on a tough road game in New Orleans. Short week, those are always tough. But if they come away with that win, that is going to be a really big W for the Jaguars. Because Jacksonville will then have 10 days off before they go to Pittsburgh. Don't ask me why, but no matter how physical and how good Pittsburgh is, Jacksonville plays well against the Steelers, especially in Pittsburgh. And then they're going to come home and they're going to play the 49ers. And that'll be, these next three games are going to be a huge test. Even if you tell me they go 2-1 in these next three games, they're sitting pretty. Because then they got the Titans at home. They should take care of that. They're in Houston. That's going to be a rough one. But I do believe that you're going to end up with a Jacksonville team that's going to get on a bit of a roll at the end. They're finishing their season. Their two out of the last three are on the road. The Bucs, the Panthers and the Titans. That is not a very tall task for this talented Jaguar squad. The Bucs will still be fighting around for the NFC South, but that's by default because the entire division's a dumpster fire. So there you have the Grade 8 this week, going 1-8. It's San Francisco at the very top, Miami, KC, Philly, Baltimore, Detroit, Dallas, and Jacksonville. So there you have that. All right, let's take a really quick break. We're going to be back in about 90 seconds. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some of the lines heading into this week, some of the ones you might want to jump on before Football Friday edition. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio's Armchair Quarterback Show.
A small town in Wisconsin was turned into the capital of football excellence by the Green Bay Packers. While there was talk of new formations, momentum, and mystique, the Packers went back to basics and proved the game was still one of blocking and tackling. They were a mix of old men reborn and golden boys with promise, blended by Vince Lombardi, who demanded total dedication from his team and got it. The Packer offense was not explosive. Rather, it was a power game, not built on deception, but on precise, devastating execution of a handful of plays. From the simple screen pass to the sweep to the trap play, their charge was as unified as Patton's Third Army. The Packers preferred the feel of a power sweep to the arc of a long pass.
Armchair.
Well, the season's finally here.
The Armchair Quarterbacks are back. Saturdays, 10 a.m., you'll be tailgating with the Armchair Quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Joey Antones, and the rest of the Armchair Quarterbacks live, 10 a.m., Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. Right here on Braves Country HD, 99.1 FM, WQEE.
Yeah, the Armchair Quarterback.
All right, welcome back. Let's take a peek at the NFL lines before week number seven gets going. We'll get this one out of the way. I don't have a ton of interest in this one. I'm going to be watching the game. But as far as from the betting side of it, I'm kind of steering clear of this one. New Orleans is a one-point favorite at home against Jacksonville. The over-under is 39.5. I'll be honest with you, I feel like the line's right about where it's at. I do like Jacksonville to go in there and get the win, but it's going to be an ugly win. And I'm really kind of holding back and waiting to see what the deal is with Trevor Lawrence. And it's literally going to come down to about game time. They're saying right now that he's probably going to play, but it's not going to be a slam dunk. So honestly, if you're going to tank this one, you need to wait until kickoff to make sure that Lawrence is going to play. Because if not, the news comes out and he isn't playing, you've already taken the line. They're not going to let you cash that ticket. That's how they make their money. So I'm steering clear of this one. I'm just not going to give you any kind of any heads up on this one. To me, it's a stay away game. There's just a lot of factors. But if we find out Lawrence is definitely playing and they're an underdog, I would lean towards taking Jacksonville on this. I'd also be honest with you, I don't hate the idea of assuming health and whatnot. I don't hate the idea of teasing Jacksonville on a 6.5 teaser if you could get it right now. And you get Jacksonville to a +7.5, and you then at that point you would get the under to 46. And I do believe that these teams are going to struggle to go up and down the field on each other. So that would be my... That's probably the play that I would make, but I really think I'm staying away from this one. All right, rest of the NFL slate. Games that we do like. By the way, Falcons, Buccaneers, staying away from that one. Falcons are on the road. They've looked bad at times. They've looked great at times. They're getting 2.5. If I can get that line to 3.5 at kickoff, I'll probably take the Falcons, but probably steering clear of this one. I feel like the Bucs should get that W at home, but it's a divisional game, and it's going to be an ugly game. Giants are getting 2 at home against Washington. I believe this may be an overreaction of a bit. You're going to have to check the injury report before it kicks off, but the biggest thing that I like about this is that if you can get a tease on this and get the Giants to a +8 on the tease and then couple it with something else. I don't hate the idea of taking the Giants and the Falcons on a teaser and getting those points in my pocket, because Washington in New York and the Buccaneers, expecting them to bounce back at home, but I don't know if they'll dominate at home. All right, games that we do like. We talked about this game a bit a second ago. Lions and Ravens. The Ravens are giving up 3 points to Detroit. The over-under is 42. The play here for me, if I touch this game, would be take the Lions and take the under in a teaser. So you push that to your traditional. You would then get Detroit +9, and you would get the Ravens Lions line under 48. And I don't hate that number at all. Steelers at the Rams. Steelers are coming off a bye. They're getting 3. The over-under is 44. We're going to have to see a much better Steeler offense than what we've seen before. I trust them on the road. I would tend to think that the Rams are going to take care of the Steelers, but Tomlin off a bye, getting points, it's kind of a tricky deal there. I do like Seattle at home. Depends on what you're getting the line at. This is a perfect teaser game. They're giving up 8. You get that down to a 2. They're at home against the Cardinals. They should win that game. Cardinals have not been good on the road at all. So I like that one a lot. Packers at the Broncos. Oof. You talk about an ugly game. I can't get away from this quick enough. If I was doing anything with this game, it's probably to grab the under, because both defenses are talented, though they've played shoddy mainly because of terrible quarterback play. But 44.5 seems a very, very high for a couple of quarterbacks that just end up stubbing their toe up and down the field. 4:25 kickoff, you got the Chargers or at the Chiefs, and this seems like a layup to most people. Getting the Chiefs, the 5.5. This seems like a letdown type of area. And giving up 5.5 points in a division game and a team in the Chargers that normally plays Kansas City pretty tough. I don't think I feel good enough about it because it's a road game to take the Chargers. But at the same token, I don't know. Kansas City is not the explosive offense that you think of, because you think of the marquee names like Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, etc. They really haven't been lighting up the scoreboard. That over-under 48 to me seems extremely high. Extremely high. You're going to be hard to get there. The game that everybody loves, everybody's on, everybody's can't wait to see, the Miami Dolphins take on the Philadelphia Eagles. And you see the over-under is a high number, 52. You see that the Eagles, depending on what book you're looking at, they're about a point favorite. I'm looking right now, it's 1.5, but about an hour or so ago, it was 1, and it opened at 2, so it's been going up and down. I do not believe that Miami is going to go into Philadelphia and establish any kind of a running game. So what you're looking at is, can Miami go out there, move the ball on a Philadelphia secondary that has given up some yards, but it's going to be on the road. It's going to be a raucous crowd. Everybody's going to be jacked up for this. This is one of the best matchups of the year so far. And everybody's going to want to hit the over because everybody's excited to see Jalen Hurts going up against Tua and the Dolphins. Let's get it. That's why I'm saying what I would do with this game, what I'm going to do with this game, is I'm going to wait until Sunday night because I believe that over-under is going to skyrocket. I think you're going to see it around 54, maybe even 55, and then I'm banging the under. Because the pace of play that Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles, they tend to take the air out of the ball. And you're going to get a slowed down game, though you still have explosive players on all sides, and everybody loves to bet the over because it's more exciting, it's more fun to bet the over. But I'm going to be banging the under because I believe that this game is going to be a little lower scoring. I see more of like a 24-20 type game. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to get to 52. Now, I may go out there, hedge my bets, and do a teaser, but I'm the under in this game is going to be involved because your typical Joe's going to go out there and sitting down Sunday night, two marquee teams, they want to see a high-scoring game, so they're going to put all their money, and the money's going to come in on the overs. I'm also going to be checking that weather, too. All right, that's it for us today. Quicker show than normal here on the podcast version as we're going to do some of these shorter shows during this offseason. Get to the point and get out of your hair. Y'all have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow and Friday on the podcast. We are going to be giving you a Friday drop on YouTube as well. We're going to be giving you Football Friday. We'll see you then. Yeah, the